Hallelujah to the Lord. And we rejoice in the Lord. Greetings today. Thank you for joining us. You are welcome to a place that is just full of the life of the Lord, full of the love of the Lord. And my heart's continually touched by the love of Jesus that's displayed among the saints. And we're excited about you. And this is a series. We're kind of in the middle of this series. We don't have a whole lot more to go in this series unless you listen slow. We don't have a whole lot more to go. But this series is kind of one of those life messages for me. It's one of those that I could probably preach on the rest of my life because it's about the Lord. It's about having hope and about having faith and connecting with the Lord and receiving from the Lord. And, you know, all of this just delights heaven. Heaven's got you in mind. I wish you could catch that. I mean, the bride of Christ is the center of heaven's focus. You know Jesus, you're a part of the bride of Christ, and I want to tell you, heaven's got you in mind. And all this was created for His glory, but I want to tell you, from His point of view, He created it all for you, too. Isn't that a beautiful view? I'm telling you, we're going to be delighted in our journey when we get a heaven view. And so I'm so excited about sharing with you today. I'm going to do a little rewind today just simply because of the events of the last few weeks and you may have missed. And so I'm going to do a little rewind and then we're going to get into some fresh word, okay? Are you ready? Well, I'm ready. I've been excited for days to share with you. And this series is How to Have the Greatest Year of Your Life. And sometimes when I share that title with someone, they ask, what series are you doing? They start laughing. I say, no, this is real because He's real. Because our shepherd is real. This can be the greatest year of your life. And dare to believe it. Dare to receive it. Dare to follow the shepherd closely and watch what He does with your life. You can look back on 2021. And declare, this is one of the greatest years of my life. And then you'll rush to say, because of Jesus. Amen. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Are you interested in that? Yeah. I hope you are, because I've really felt from the Lord, even before the first of the year, that started on this part around Thanksgiving, that, you know, we really need to park at some exhortation to the body with all that's happened in the year 2020 and all that. Let's get our focus on Jesus. Let's have exhortation. Let's exhort one another is what the Bible says. And so that's part of what this series is about. And so let's kick off with this. Psalm 23:1. If you've been listening, you know we introduce this emphasis in every one of these sermons in this How to Have the Greatest Year of Your Life. This is part 4, by the way. Psalm 23:1 says this. This is out of the NLT. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, wow. Boy, that doesn't even sound like an American phrase, does it? Okay. But I'm telling you, that's Bible phrase. We need to have a word mindset and not a world mindset. And all the saints said, I want to tell you, when you get your focus on the shepherd and you're centered in on the shepherd, I want to tell you, it does you a heaven of a lot of good to confess what the Word of God says, what Jesus is. He is your shepherd. He is your supply. He's the great I am. And you can say with the Word of God, I have all that I need. That's the kind of God that He is, the kind of Father that He is. And you say, well, that's really not true of my life. I need this and this and this. Well, He's the answer. And I want to tell you, He's provided. It's been paid for. And I want to tell you, it's our joy and adventure in this life to learn how to receive what He's provided. So let's get on the adventure together. Let's get on the journey together. It's a learning journey, all right? I haven't figured it all out. You probably haven't either. And so let's go on this journey together, and we'll help each other. And we've got a present-day continual helper that the Lord has given us. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to make this personal and practical and give a step-by-step application. That He will do if you follow the shepherd. All right? And so, verse 6, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Verse 6 says this, surely, somebody say for sure, for sure. For sure, for sure. your goodness, talking about God's goodness and unfailing love, will pursue me. I'm telling you, he is so assertive. He's so desirous of blessing you and loving on you and blessing your life. He says, his unfailing love will pursue me. It means to chase you down. Actually, it's a hunting word. It will chase you, will hunt you down. Isn't that good? Oh, my. Sometimes we talk about, I found the Lord. I want to tell you, he'd been chasing you. Unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Now, listen, that's not just Sunday. That's not just when you do a couple goody-goodies. All right? It doesn't have anything to do with your performance. This is God's decision. It's already been made. If you're sheep in his pasture, if Jesus is your shepherd, this is a decree, a declaration that the Lord has made for you. All the days of my life, and may I rush to say, because there's a theme through Scripture about his part of his desire and purpose for you is a long life. Okay? I know when you go to the doctor, they want to say, well, when did some of your people ahead of you die? When did they die? And then they'll turn around and say, well, you're probably going to, you know, we refuse that in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, our basis is on what the Word of God says. And, you know, that's something for us to embrace. Part of the blessing is a long life. And I'm not talking about a long, miserable life. We're talking about a long blessing of life. All right? Full of Him is full of blessing. Man, I'm so excited that y'all are excited about this. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Does that mean, Pastor Tim, we camp out at church? Well, at this point in my life, I would really appreciate it. But it's not talking about just camping out at church. I mean, being in when we come together, yes, let's be together and let's receive corporately the manifestation of the Lord. But what it's talking about, we're going to enjoy His presence forever. And I want to tell you, when you're enjoying His presence, you are a house of the Lord. Oh, my. I'm telling you, that's the rich. I'd love to stay there. Not going to preach on that part today. 2021, if you follow the Son, can be the greatest year of your life. But be a seeker of the Shepherd. Sometimes we want to get in a comfort zone that's not designed by heaven. It's actually an idea from hell that you only follow the shepherd when you have to, and you only cry out to him when you're in trouble, and by all means, just relax and rest and be eat, drink, be married, and forget about following the shepherd. What the enemy wants to do is give all the sheep a sleeping pill. Man. I am telling you, the proper heartbeat, the healthy heartbeat of a sheep is to seek the shepherd, to be close to the shepherd, to let the shepherd love on them and the sheep love on the shepherd. We're talking relationship. That's why Jesus came, is for you to have relationship. And so relationship, fellowship is big on God's program for you. And so if you miss that part, you miss. And there's a whole lot more you'll miss if you miss that part. Because he's all about interacting with you. And so he's seeking for seekers. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we've covered in this series already. So I won't stay there. I'm just going to mention it. That his eyes are roaming to and fro across this world. And he's looking for the hearts that are turned toward him. The hearts that are seeking him. Do you get it? Father is looking at our hearts, and he's looking for hearts. He's seeking for seekers. And I want to tell you, he rewards seekers. And I want to tell you, he knows whether your heart is seeking him or not. You know it's possible to go through the motions. Oh, I don't like to preach on that, but you know that's true. We can go through the motions. We can say the right words. We can speak Christianese. We can say the right words. We can do the right things. And our heart be far from him. That's what Jesus said. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, Jesus notices this. Jesus knows it. But I'm telling you, the moment you turn your heart toward him, he knows, heaven knows, it's public news in heaven. Maybe private with you, but it's public news in heaven. And this is what the Bible says. He will reward you. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, if you believe the Word of God, you turn your heart toward the Lord and you seek the Lord and you'll see the reward of the Lord. You know what he's going to reward you with? himself, intimacy with himself, and that's the greatest treasure. He's our inheritance. He's the greatest shepherd. And to be able to be close to his heart, I'm telling you, he rewards us. Let's walk in the reward of God on this journey. I know you're going to enjoy him in heaven. We don't have to wait. I'm telling you, eternal life is everlasting life. It's abundant life. He is here to help you in this journey. It's so important to him that he left us a present day, continual 24/7 helper on the inside to help us in the journey. And so don't settle for less than God's best. You know, I like to say that. I work that in every series. Here it is again. It's worth saying again. Don't settle for less. If you settle for less, you will. I am telling you, there's so much more that he wants to love on us with. There's so much more of him that he wants us to know. And Paul said this is his numero uno priority. This is number one project in life, was to get to know him better. That's your joy. I'm telling you, when you're getting to know him better, it's amazing how the junk of this world gets small when you're getting to know him. And he wants that. So understand, and I know I hear some people say sometimes, well, I wish I had a testimony like Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. I'm announcing to you, there is no testimony without a test. And it's amazing sometimes when a test comes, we want to take off running from him. Okay, I've shared with you in this series that when the Lord tests you, it's to prove your heart. It's not to punish you. It's to help you see what's in your heart that could be hardened or blocking to keep you from receiving from him. And I want to tell you, we can pass the test. And the main pass of the test that the Lord brings to his people is the test of allegiance. The test of allegiance. And we talked about how that Abraham passed the test of allegiance. The Lord loves you and loves to bless us bigger than we can dream. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, all the things that he has prepared for you. Wow. You were born with a purpose. And I want to tell you, God wants you to know your purpose. Now, I can tell you outright by the Bible, your general purpose that he created you is to bring him honor and glory. And when you practice following him and your purpose becomes his lined up with him, that you are here to bring him honor and glory, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever thing you do, whatever you do on the computer needs to bring him honor and glory. Your job, whatever you do at your job, you say, well, I'm under, well, no, you do it as unto the Lord. If you're changing diapers, you do it as unto the Lord and bring him honor and glory. And I want to tell you, heaven knows it. Heaven celebrates it. But he has created you even before you were born. We have emphasis in Scripture that he designed you to fulfill a purpose in his kingdom. That's the Lord. He has that for you. And so he will help you by the Holy Spirit. You're in the Word, and you're submitting to him in the Spirit, that you know what? He will lead you how to find his purpose. He will lead you into fulfilling your purpose. He will lead you into finishing your purpose. You say, Brother Tim, that's a little dreamy. No, it's not. Paul said, I fought the fight. Finished the course. And I want to tell you, we want to be able to say at the end of our journey that, you know what? I have found the will of God. I followed the will of God. I fulfilled the purpose of God. Amen. Amen? That's God's desire. That's God's plan. You say, well, I've blown it. Not too much for him to work his purpose in you. It's never too late. We can start today by yielding our heart and seeking him. And that's a choice that every single one of us can make. God did a great job creating you. I tell the teens that quite a bit. The Lord did a good job creating you. Okay, he didn't mess up. Because you know what the enemy wants to say. And I'll also tell them this. And when you receive Christ, he does a great job recreating you. inside out. And you know what? It's a lifetime journey of Him transforming us, transforming, renewing our mind, transforming our life. One affects the other. It's so exciting. And so the Lord has a lot more that He wants to do with us and for us. And you know what? In salvation, the Bible says He made all things new. Is that a great idea? He made all things new. It's on the inside, but He wants to work it through your soul. It's in your spirit, but He wants to work it through your soul and even into your body. Does that sound good? Because of His Word, that's the promises of God. Because of His Word and because of His works, it's the finished works on the cross. And so we have His Word and we have His works. Okay? Hey, and because of who He is, He's the great I Am. I want to tell you, that's more than a winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's three touchdowns at the same time. And you know what? You can't lose for winning. When you line up with His Word and His works, practice the works, the finished works of Christ applied to your life, and you practice His presence, that He's the great I Am, you can't lose for winning. Man, this can be the best year of your life because of His Word, His works, and who He is. His name's above every name. I know that sometimes things come on this earth. You know, the Bible said they would. Things come into our life. We're not shocked by that. Different crises have different names. And humans have a way of measuring destruction. You remember us talking about this? You turn on that box and, you know, they want to measure and talk about how that the enemy is stolen or killed or destroyed. And you know, that's big news. Bad news sells. I hope I'm not giving you a shocker on that one. Okay? Bad news sells. But let me tell you something. Part of the problem is even Christians want to follow the world mindset. And I want to just announce to you, I understand how it happens because we're so connected to this earth. And we operate on the level of the world just like regular humans do. And you're not a regular human. You're a new creation in Christ. But we want to operate, and we tend to operate and have most of our life. And so we tend to operate on that level. And we tend to measure destruction and focus on destruction. But let me tell you something. That's a world mindset. Okay, there's a better way. Now, you may not want a better way, but there's a better way. Let's have a heaven mindset. Let's have a Word mindset. And let's look at and focus on, listen to this, the immeasurable. Instead of measuring the destruction how it is today, hey, let's focus on the immeasurable goodness and unfailing love of God. Wow! I want to tell you, things happen when you turn your focus from the measure of destruction, that earthly mindedness, and you turn to a Word mindset, and you focus on the immeasurable. I mean, His love for you is so great, and His goodness, and His unfailing love for you is so immeasurable. When we focus on that, things happen that the world doesn't understand. Esteem Him. You've heard me say we focus on Him. And what He says. We focus on who He is. We focus on what He says. And we focus on what He does. What He's done. When you look at the Word of God. And you look at what He's done. What He does in Scripture. What He says. The Holy Spirit reveals to you who He is. That's where revelation comes from. And that's why we say that, yeah, information has a spot and has a need. But I want to tell you, the greatest life of the church is not the information, it's the revelation of Jesus. And that's how He wants to show us. He wants to reveal Himself to us. Psalm 23:6 says, His goodness and unfailing love is chasing you down. That's because of who He is. And I want to say, because of who He is tells us who we are. And that's why that Bible is a mirror, and we got to look in the mirror to see what we really look like. Because the world lies to us. The enemy lies to us. Our own flesh lies to us. But we got to be in the Word of God and see what God says we are, what Jesus says we are. And when we focus in that mirror, we see the real. And then we're able to renew our mind with that. We're able to agree with it in our soul. Because of who He is, we are. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin. That's what happened on the cross. He poured all of our sins, all of our diseases, all of our sickness, all of our failures, all of our brokenheartedness. He poured it all on Christ. Listen, so that in and through him we might become, and the Amplified brings out, to be endued with, to viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God. I want to tell you, he poured all of our junk on him so that we could be like him. He took our junk and we received his rightness. Do you see that? I mean, is that so exciting? He became on the cross what we are so we can become as he is. Joint heirs. Now, I want to tell you, when you're a joint heir, you have as much right to something as someone else. Hey, good news for you. God says he's no respecter of persons. If you're a joint heir, if you've received Christ, you're a joint heir with Christ, and you're as much of a joint heir for the inheritance of God's goodness and unfailing love as anyone else that's ever lived. Hey, I want to say it like this so it'll be plain. God loves you just as much as he loved Apostle Paul. How about the disciple that Jesus loved on and received his love? How about John? Hey, I'm telling you that Jesus loves you just as much as he loved John. Hey, what about the greatest Christian you've ever known? Jesus loves you just as much as he loves them. And you know what? You have just as much right. Wait! It's a birthright. It's an inheritance. It's a joint inheritance that we get from Jesus. You have just as much of a birthright to receive the goodness and unfailing, the blessing of God as anyone that's ever lived. I'm going to try to blow your mind, because this is big. He's loved us. Jesus loved us with the same love that Father loved him with. That's what the Bible says. Hey, I'm going to put it to you in Texas terms. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Oh, yeah, man, I nearly got knocked down with amens on that one. Well, maybe that's something to chew and meditate on. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. He loved you even before Jesus came. John 3:16 says, for God so loved that he gave. So before he gave, he so loved. I'm telling you, this is the heart of Father for you. If you capture this, if you catch this, it'll change your view and your perspective, and it can change your life. Wow. I'm about to preach myself happy on this. He became on the cross, so his loving kindness and blessing is our inheritance. How about Ephesians 1, 13 and 14? Watch this. This is very, very powerful. If you don't have verse 14, make a note about it. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him. You see, that's more than just being a parrot and repeating a prayer. Now, you can repeat a prayer and this happen, but you can also repeat a prayer and not do this in your heart. Wow. Okay, I just, you know, got some oh me's and amens over the airwaves. And have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long promised Holy Spirit. You say, wow, well, how does that affect me? Verse 14 tells us. Verse 14 says this. I'm fixing to get my Bible. Ephesians 1. I guess I'm going to have to put my glasses on. You got it? Look at there. I love it when that happens. That spirit that you've been sealed with. And I want to tell you a beautiful picture of sealed. And I started to bring one. It was to bring a plastic bag and zip it and seal it. And I want to tell you, because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is talking about your spirit. It's been sealed. And I want to tell you, sometimes that bag, our body can fall into some mud. Sometimes our soul can fall into some mud. Sometimes our brains can go where they don't need to go, do what we don't need to do, But I want to tell you something. Because the Holy Spirit has sealed our spirit, the dirtiness of this life, the dirtiness of sin can't get into our spirit. Is that great news? I did a little series on that. Okay. Well, it was about 22 sermons, I think. But that spirit that he's given us is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment. Do you see that? I love the way the Amplified brings this out of the original language. It's the down payment on our heritage. So get this. Let me take a little time out here. And so when you receive Christ, you've been given the Holy Spirit. He seals your spirit. And actually, it's described that the Spirit of Jesus comes into your spirit. You're made alive. Hey, right here on the inside, Jesus. I'm talking about full-grown Jesus right here in you. Amen. Isn't that great? Well, I want to tell you something. Not only is that sealed, but this is what he's saying. That Holy Spirit has been deposited in you as a down payment for, listen, for the inheritance of everything that he paid for. And so, I want to tell you, you have a right, a birthright, for everything that he paid for, and he proves it by giving the Holy Spirit as a down payment deposit in you. If he's given you the Holy Spirit, he will not withhold anything less. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the very Spirit of Jesus in you. And if you receive Christ, you do, you have, and you can. If I wasn't so fat, I'd flip today. I'm telling you, this is great. In anticipation. Hey, are you anticipating? I want to tell you, when you walk into a building full of believers and they're anticipating, there's an expectation to get to meet with the Lord and to see the love of the Lord manifest. I want to tell you, it's electricity in the air that the world can't copy. Are you anticipating today? Of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it. This is God's will for you, is the complete possession. So don't settle for less than God's best. When I say that, I'm talking Bible. I'm not just trying to be a cheerleader and exhort you. This is Bible. His desire is for us to have the complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. Why? Because it brings him honor and glory. I'm telling you, heaven shouts. Brings him honor and glory. He's our inheritance. Wants to lead us into all of our inheritance, to discover the rest of it. And he's our helper to help us do this personally. I love him, don't you? First John 4:17 says this. In this, union and communion with him. See, this speaks of relationship, doesn't it? It's more than going to church when you feel like it, isn't it? It's more than reading a scripture every day. Right? I'm talking about that this, you were born into a relationship, and his desire is fellowship and communication, interaction with you. It's a relationship of union and communion. This is normal Christianity. This love is brought to completion in your union and communion with him. This is how it grows. You say, well, I just want to love the Lord more. How many times have I heard that over 45 years? I just want to love the Lord more. Well, this is how you do it. This is Bible way. Hey, if you rely on emotion, you ain't going to get there. Okay? If you think time makes it happen, it doesn't. If you think a pastor or someone else can make this happen, it doesn't. But I'm telling you what makes it happen is the Word of God. It says the union and communion with him. Hey, that love life with him brings it to completion. And attains a perfection. Somebody say maturity. Maturity. A maturity with us. That we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now I'm telling you, you know I love to say that. I'm speaking Bible. This is not Papa T encouraging. This is Bible. That's what the Bible says. As he is, so are we in this world. That speaks to me. And I can make it personal because the Holy Spirit's worked it personal to me. I don't really have time today, but I'll just give you a quick example. You know, when I get under the weather, when I start struggling something, this past week and sharing firewood with the saints, my left elbow just began to bark and cry. I mean, like I'm a sissy. And I had to just say, in the name of Jesus, is Jesus' elbow hurting?
No.
Now look, I know this is simple, but the Lord works with me simple. Probably has to, I understand. But maybe you can get it. Is the Lord's elbow hurting?
No.
So I had to say, as he is, so is Tim Hall in this world. That means present. Oh, yeah, in heaven it's not going to hurt. He says in this world. And so I had to, by faith, see, it's all by faith. It's not by chill bump. Because I want to tell you, after I took communion and union, practiced communion, union with him, dedicating, rededicating that elbow to Jesus and confessing in the name of Jesus, pain in my elbow, get out of here, go swimming, get off the front porch, leave. Okay, after I did that, I still had pain in my elbow. It hadn't moved yet. But the Bible says we continue to resist. Submit to God and resist, and the devil will flee. He may not flee immediately. But I want to tell you, this is where we have confidence. In the day of attack, we have confidence and assurance, and boldness to face him. Okay? Because when he said it's finished, that means it's done for us too. As he is, so are we in this world. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot there, and I got to move on. But you know, I'd love to love on you with that. Let's move on. Because at this point, it looks like I'm just barely going to get through my introduction. Hey, I want to make this real personal. As Jesus is in the world, so am I. Okay, look, you can confess that. You're confessing his word, his will, his desire. When you confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, in spite of your report card, I want to tell you, you're confessing Christ. And you're confessing what God's done and what God says. And it's important for you to confess his word to get your soul in alignment and your brain in alignment to what God says, and not the world mindset, but the word mindset. And so look, I'm asking you a question. Does Jesus have faith? Yeah, he does. He proved it on earth. And I want to tell you, the Bible is real clear that even our faith is his faith. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but he that liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of. It didn't say in. I've heard people repeat it and say in, but it's the faith of Christ. I'm telling you, he made a deposit in you by the Holy Spirit, and he gave you that measure of faith in you, so don't ever, ever, ever say, I don't have enough faith. Because Jesus has given you the portion, given you the measure of faith, and I want to announce to you that the Word of God says that he's given us everything that we need in this life to live a godly life. And so when you say stuff like that, you're going against the Word of God, you're going against the purpose of God. Is that a little strong? Well, here we go. He's given us faith to receive. I didn't say achieve. I've said it for years. You know what I'm going to say right now. Christians aren't great achievers. They're great receivers. We're not to achieve who we are in Christ. We're to receive it. Now, let me be real clear about this. You can't receive it till you see it. You got to see it. Send a word. Look at that mirror. Okay? See what God says about it. You can't receive it till you see it. And you can't see it till you hear it. Man, I've been wanting to say that. You don't know how many weeks I've waited to say that. Okay? Do you understand what I just said? You can't receive it till you see it. See, that's where hope is. Hey, hope gives you a picture in your imagination room for what God is and what God says about you and what you are in Christ and what he wants to do. He gives you a picture of it, see? I'm telling you, faith, hope, and love, they all hold hands. Stop preaching at them like they're different books. They're all together. They spell J-E-S-U-S. They spell the Holy Spirit working in you, and this is part of his deposit in you. Faith, hope, and love abide right here. And he wants to take hope. And he wants to give you a picture see on the inside. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's a picture. Okay? And then he wants to show us. You see, we see it in the word. Look. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God, hearing the words of Jesus. And so I want to tell you, before you can receive it, you got to see it. That's hope. And before you even get there, you know what? You got to hear it. And so that's why we tell people, you got to hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Get in the word of God. Hear the Holy Spirit speaking the word of God to you, making it personal to you. There's a big difference between logos and rhema. And logos, even a child that doesn't know Jesus can read the logos. I'm not saying there's any benefit to that, but I'm saying the greatest benefit is not the logos, it's the rhema. It's what the Holy Spirit takes out of the logos and shows you Jesus and says, this is Jesus with your name on it. Now you're hearing, faith comes, hope comes, you see it, and you know what? They hold hands with love and you receive it. Boy, I'm telling you. That kind of thing just it's so exciting to me. But that's why that I can take the Word of God and say this to you. You are a giant killing, mountain climbing, overcoming, more than conqueror over whatever name of the crisis that comes against you. It doesn't matter what name it is. It doesn't matter on what level it is. You say, well, it's a deeper level. Well, deeper level, new devil, but Jesus is over it all. Amen? And so I'm telling you, this is whatever the name is. I don't care what they call it. Okay? His name's above every name. John 16:33. We need to get through the introduction today. John 16:33 says this. Thank you for your patience, really. But I really felt it was big in my heart after what we've been through the last couple weeks. This nation, this state, to really exhort you today. John 16:33. I have told you these things. What things? It's Jesus' words. Okay, that's why that you know you hear a sermon. Don't just say amen to it and let it go. If it's a Jesus-focused, cross-centered, Jesus-focused sermon, then you know you need to listen to it over and over again because it's by faith, hearing comes. Faith comes. And so you got to hear it until it lands on the inside of you, until your heart grasps it, until it becomes something. Because, you know, there for a while, your spirit will be saying amen because it witnesses the truth, but your soul and your mind say, you know, I really know that's truth, but I don't understand how this puzzle fits together. That's why you continue to renew your mind until the place where the Holy Spirit helps you in elementary ways put the pieces of the puzzle together and you say, I see it. You hear it till you see it. And you see it till you receive it. I tell people, you seek Jesus till you see him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay, are you with me? And so I've told you these things, Jesus' words, so that in me, see, it's not through life coaching. I could get real personal on some things, but I'm just saying, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And so I want to tell you, his words will give you peace and confidence. That's what Bible says. We don't have to make it say something. It doesn't say. That's Bible. And so I want to tell you, when you need peace and confidence, you get your sweet self in the Word, and you saturate yourself in the Word, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to make this personal to you, and you turn your heart and seek Him, and He will give you peace and confidence. That's what He promises. Does He lie? I'm telling you, we're going to find out next week. He cannot lie. So, we come... We're this is our lifestyle. Let me hurry up and say this. This is to be normal Christianity, that we are receiving His words and we are walking in perfect peace and confidence, holy boldness. This is our normal heartbeat of a believer. And then, let's see what happens next. And then in the world, this is we have wellness with our soul before the world brings tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. You see? Do you see the emphasis here? Hey, I'm telling you, first you walk in the perfect peace and confidence, holy boldness of the Lord before the troubled trials and tribulation and distresses show up, because they will show up. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care what you've accomplished. You're living in this world, and let me say we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But as long as we're in the world, this kind of stuff's going to show up. That's what the Bible says. And we understand that to be true, and all the saints said. And so, but before these troubles, trials, tribulations, and disturbances come, we are walking in peace and confidence. That's the emphasis. And so then let's look what happens when we're walking in the peace and confidence of the Lord first, and then the distress comes to disturb our hearts, or storms come to disturb our hearts. Look what happens. When we're walking in peace and confidence in the Lord first, when we're receiving the words, look what happens. Then we are able to be of good cheer. That's a big difference in the moaning, groaning, crying, and complaining. I could give examples. You see, we go from peace to cheer. There may be a little adjustment moment. Hey, we all wear this stuff right here, see? We wear that. There may be an adjustment moment. But I want to tell you, when we're walking in the peace and confidence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit's able to say, hey, not there, here. He's able to point us to Jesus. And guess what? We hear him. He said, my sheep know my voice. And he said that he will say to sheep, no, not there, go here. And they will follow. Why? Because their heart's been following the shepherd. They will follow his voice. Do you see a difference in that? And so look, if you've kind of fallen by the way, got off the wayside, got off in one of them so-called resting areas that become a disturbance area, and you've been there for a while, well, okay, we got compassion. We know how easy it is for that to happen. But you don't have to stay there. Don't settle for less than God's best. Let's get back on track. Well, how do I do that? Because the enemy will present this big mountain like it's going to be so hard to do and it's going to take so long. No, he's a liar. You know what it takes? Repentance. You know what repentance means? Changing your mind. It means turning your heart. I was going left. Left was wrong. I made a decision to turn right. That's right. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That hasn't changed in spite of me going left. And so what's powerful? Do I confess sin? Well, sure, you confess sin. Lord, you're right. I was wrong. That wrong. Lord, you said, and this is confessing Christ, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that hasn't changed. And you know what? That makes heaven shout. Okay? I hope this is being clear, but here we go. From peace to cheer. Good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. That's why I say holy boldness. And this is what he says, for I have overcome the world. I want to tell you, that's our difference. That's the difference between you and a normal human. Okay? He says, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Do you see that in Amplified? Oh, look, you may need to write that down somewhere where you can see it every day. Take these notes, look at them, meditate on them. But I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And have conquered it for you. How clear can that be? Somebody need to give a hallelujah to the Lord. And not only that, yes, I've got time to share this. We're going to finish our intro today. It goes just like this. He always leads us into triumph. Now, there's a big question here. You say, well, I'm not in triumph. Well, are you following the shepherd? Because our theme here is to follow the Son in 21. And if you follow the Son in 21, even if you get off bounds or out of path or out of the way, even if that happens to you, then I want to tell you something. You turn your heart toward the Lord, and you know what? You follow him, he'll lead you. If he's not leading you into triumph, I have to ask, are you following? He can only lead if you're following. Okay. All right. He always leads us into triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:4, this is the word of God. But thanks be to God. There's room to always give thanks, amen? who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Now, I want to tell you, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Because not only he leads us into triumph, and listen, yes, it's for you. Yes, it feels good to have victory, doesn't it? There's a lot of celebration in our journey because we receive triumph from the Lord. And we understand it's from the Lord. And it's in Christ. Somebody see that up there? Say, in Christ. Okay, because it's not on your own. Anytime you hear a testimony and you start hearing, I, turn it off, walk away. I'm serious. Hey, let's make sure he gets honor and glory because it was him. Your big part, cooperate. Huh? Okay. He always leads us into triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. I want to tell you what you are. You're a walking trophy of the Lord. That's why I like to call you beautiful trophies of grace. You're a walking trophy of the Lord. And I want to tell you, people can't help it. You know, we have a football room. It's in our pool room. And, you know, my boys were great athletes. And there's a lot of things up there on that wall that reflects their athleticism. And I want to tell you something. It touches me to see people stop and look. And I've had some of their teammates come and say, hey, Papa T, that's me in that picture right there. I see you. But see, you don't want to tell you, that's what you are. I want to tell you how heaven sees you. Because the world don't tell you this. The enemy don't tell you this. The enemy will tell you, sorry, no good, sinful outfit. Ever heard that echo in your mind? I want to tell you what God says. God says you're a trophy of the victory of Christ. You are trophies of grace. I want to tell you, trophies reflect him, his victory. And look at this. And it's not just for you, is it? Through us spreads and makes evidence the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere, the knowledge of God everywhere. I want to tell you something. Because of Christ's victory in you, I'm just going to announce that you smell good. And I'm talking about better than Campbell's good. I'm telling you, you smell good. Okay? Something happens. You can just be finished with a meal, and somebody got bread, bacon. You know what happens. Man, I tell you, the mouth starts salivating, man. You say, I didn't know I was hungry. Listen, that's what the world says. When you honor Christ by letting him move his victory in your life, you're a trophy of Christ's victory. And not only that, you smell good for Jesus. You're a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ. And it causes people to say, Jesus smells good on you. I want me some of that. I'm telling you, isn't the Lord good? I love them. Don't you love them? How exciting it is to be a part of what God's doing. Well, we finished. Thank you for listening. I wrapped up my time. And I'm actually going to start right here. Introductions out of the way. We're going to get down in some meat, some gritty good stuff. And I want to tell you, give you some stuff to chew on. Give you some stuff the Holy Spirit will help you apply. Because I want to tell you, you follow the Son in 21, it can be the best year of your life. Are you interested? I know you are. You wouldn't tune in or you wouldn't be here. I told somebody the other day, the folk that hang out around me, they're Jesus fanatics. I love them. Hey, they love the Word. I love them. They're easy to minister to. And thank you for being a part of us. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. We love the Lord.